To anyone who thinks that this is church, they don't know what they're talking about. I can tell you right now that standing up here, looking out over this room, and there are three people here that I love. One I love extremely so. And yet it is not the same without having all of you here. I was sitting in the pew while Andrew was singing, and CJ says, you need to loosen up there. You look more like the, you can't see it yet. We'll give you some pictures of it. But CJ has set up the room with various faces kind of in their pew, including Jerry with his eyes closed. And so I'm looking at all of those, and it's encouraging at least to have, I can see Diane Never looking at me from over there on the right-hand side, my right-hand side. So I'm trying to loosen up a little bit here, but this is just not the same as seeing all of you. It's not the same as being here. It's not the same as spending the time downstairs with donuts and coffee and enjoying the time together and looking out here and seeing your faces. So if I seem a little bit more tight than normal, it's going to be this way, I think, until we're back here and we can all relax a little bit together with the Lord. CJ is actually dancing in the back right now. I wish you could actually see that. That was interesting. So we're all grounded right now, and it's probably the first time in our lives that it's for something we didn't do. Being at home, and certainly at times more times than others, bored. We're listening to too much television news. We're reading too many Facebook posts with alarming stats that we're all listening to, and videos, quite frankly, several of them have been exposed so far that we can't trust, showing situations that actually don't exist. Opinions are on sale right now. If you're looking for one, it's not just buy one, get one. It's buy one and get more than you can actually stand. The president is either a hero or the villain, depending upon whose opinion you've bought into. There are so many voices and so many words and so little that we can actually trust. It's too easy to become distracted from what we know is true. These things are drawing our attention away. Last week we looked at Psalm 23 and the critical fact that as believers we have a good shepherd. A good shepherd who directs our paths, supplies our needs, protects us from those who would prey upon us and willingly sacrificed himself for our eternal salvation. It's not the president, whether you like him or not. It's not the politicians, Republican or Democrat. Amen to that. It's not my state's governor, nor the nature of my circumstances that have anything to do with what's going on in our lives right now, because the Lord is our shepherd. And all is well for those who are following him. So today I'm going to use his word to solidify the truth that we can trust and the voice that we need to heed. I'm not going to do a lot of expository preaching today, which is what I normally do week after week. I want to just be reading what he says about himself. And so I'll be repeating after him, a little commentary perhaps here and there, but for the most part, I want him to be speaking. So I'm going to be going over a lot of verses. Keep up if you can. This is recorded, so you can go back and pick up what you miss if you want to look up some of these verses yourself. But starting with Lamentations chapter 3, verses 37 through 38, where it says, "Who can speak and have it happen? If the Lord has not decreed it, is it not from the mouth of the Most High, listen, that both calamities and good things come?" Both calamities and good things come. Psalm 9, verse 10, "Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." 1 Timothy 6:15 says, "He is the blessed ruler of all things, the king over all kings, the master of all masters." Are we getting the flow of where I want to go today? about who's really in charge of everything that's going on, not just in our lives here in Monroe County or Lucas County or the state of Michigan or the state of Ohio or the United States of America, but the world right now, most certainly. Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 28, when Paul was in Athens, we read, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he gives to all life and breath and all things, and has made of one blood of all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Listen to verse 28. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we also are his offspring. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, he upholds, that means he keeps everything together by the word of his power. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, two of my favorite verses in the book of Colossians. It says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6, one of my favorite Old Testament books, the book of Nehemiah. It says, you, even you, art Lord alone. You have made the heavens, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein, and you preserve them all. And the host of heaven worships you. Psalm 33, verses 10 through 11 says this, the Lord foils the plans of the nations. Listen to that. No matter what their goals might be, no matter what plotting there might be going on in whatever country there might be, the Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. Proverbs 16:9. The heart of a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. We make our own plans. One of the things I'm having the hardest time dealing with right now is I'm very structured. By nature, I'm that way, partially because I don't remember anything anymore. So if I don't keep good notes and put my keys in one spot, I won't know what I'm doing. But I go to bed at night and I look at my calendar to see what I need to do in the morning, to know when to set my alarm. I know what's ahead of me. I structure my day in that way and get up and go about my business doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And right now, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be doing. It's disturbing to me to get up every day and not really knowing what day of the week it is. This is Sunday. How many of you were lost this week as to what day of the week it was? So I'm getting up in the morning as a man who's used to planning his day, but the Lord is determining my steps, and for the most part, they've gone from the bedroom to the bathroom to the kitchen, to the basement and back up in front of the television some point in time. And that's pretty much my, kind of looks like a family circus when they used to draw out all the little dots for the kids running around the house. That's all of us. If I had a dog, I'd be moving him away from the picture window so I could look outside to see what's going on. Proverbs 21:30 says, there is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. It is all his. James 4:15. James says it's okay for us to say, we're going to go here and we're going to go there and do this thing or that thing. But he said this, we ought to say, if the Lord wills, we'll live and do this or do that. We make our plans, but it's always Lord willing. Daniel chapter 4, the great book of the prophet. Daniel chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. And then we're going to be in Isaiah for a few verses here. Daniel 4, 3 through 5. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and visions in my head troubled me. I think I've missed this verse where I wanted to go. But nonetheless, verse 3 is a wonderful verse. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Nebuchadnezzar was actually boasting about the kingdom being his and all of his own powers. And God had to bring him down for, I believe, 7 years that he wandered about with his hair growing long and his nails growing long like a wild animal, until he was able to acknowledge who really was in charge of all that there is. Turn to Isaiah chapter 46. You've heard me read this many, many times here. Another one of my favorite sections in the scripture. Isaiah 46, verses 9 through 11. It says, remember the former things of old, the things that have gone on in the past. He said, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end, declaring what happens at the end from the beginning, before it ever began. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all of my pleasure. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 11. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Listen, so shall my word be, very important note here, not his word used by our mouth, but it says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. This does not mean that you can pick up the word of God and read some verses out of it and make it have power and do what you want it to do. It says his word, as it goes forth out of his mouth, does what he sends it forth to do and accomplishes his purposes, not your goals. And because of that, we can rest. I am grateful that the people that are promoting the worst case scenarios do not have this power. I'm grateful that those who think that there's nothing to this at all don't have his powers. I am grateful that I can stand on the fact that he will speak his words. They will go forth out of his mouth, and they will accomplish everything that he has sent them out to do. They will serve his purposes. None of the talking heads on television, on the radio, or any other place you're listening, no podcast you can pull up, including this one, has anything to do with where we are and where we're going and where we've been. It is all in his hands and according to his word, period. Isaiah 45, so we're backing up just a couple of chapters, verses 5 through 7. Very similar to 46. In this beginning, I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded you, though you did not know me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, you heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. All things are in his hand to do as he pleases. We're always trying to save God's reputation by trying to exempt him from everything we don't understand that doesn't appear to be doing what we think he should be doing. And yet he says, whatever it is that's going on, I'm doing it. And what can we trust? Well, we can trust that he is good. We can trust that he is kind. We can trust that he is merciful and full of grace. We can trust that he is loving, but he is also just. And his justice will serve with his holiness and his love upon this earth in ways we might not like. In the same sense that Hebrews 12 says that a father sometimes will chasten a son, and that chastening is not fun for the moment by any stretch of the imagination. And the Lord chastens his own. And it is not pleasurable at the time, but it brings forth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Isaiah chapter 10, verses 5 through 19. Here, the king of Assyria is boasting about his great power and his great armies and what he's going to do. And he's going to go down and chasten Israel and show Israel how powerful he is. And what he doesn't know is that he is actually serving God. And he doesn't realize this, and the Lord's going to make that known to him, that even as he sends the king of Assyria down to chasten Israel, he will turn and chasten the king of Assyria for boasting about what he has done. And there's a couple of verses in this section that I love dearly, and I'll point those out when I get there. But let's start in verse 5. O Assyrian, the rod of my anger and the staff in their hand is my indignation. It's me, he says. I'm going to send him against a hypocritical nation. And against the people of my wrath would I give him a charge to take the spoil and to take the prey and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. This is God doing this, by the way, folks. Albeit he doesn't mean this. Neither does his heart think so. But it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few. He has no idea what God is doing. Doesn't mean God's not doing it. For he saith, are not my princes altogether kings? Is not Calno, is Carchemish, is not Hamath, is Arpad, is not Samaria, is Damascus? As my hand has found the kingdoms of the idols, and whose graven images did excel them of Jerusalem and of Samaria, shall I not, as I have done unto Samaria and her idols, so do to Jerusalem and her idols? Wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord has performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, I'll punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks. For he says, by my strength of my hand I have done it, and my wisdom, for I am prudent, and I have removed the bounds of the people and have robbed their treasures and have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. And my hand has found as a nest the riches of the people, and as one gathered eggs that are left, I have gathered all the earth, and there was none that moved the wing or opened the mouth or peeped. Now listen to these verses in response. Shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith, or shall the saw magnify itself against him that shakes it, as if the rod should shake itself against them that lift it up, or as if the staff should lift up itself as if it were no wood? Therefore shall the Lord of hosts, send among his fat ones leanness, and under his glory he shall kindle a burning like the burning of a fire, and the light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his Holy One for a flame, and it shall burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day, and shall consume the glory of his forest and of his fruitful field, both soul and body, and they shall be as when a standard bearer faints, and the rest of the trees of his forest shall be few, that a child may ride on them. This is the Lord's doing. Job chapter 37, a wonderful section of Job. There's a lot of great sections in Job. Job 37, verses 1 through 14. Listen to Job. At this also my heart trembled and is moved out of his place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. That's the one we're to be paying heed to, isn't it? He directs it under the whole heaven and his lightning unto the ends of the earth. After it a voice roars, he thunders. With the voice of his excellency he will not stay them with his when his voice is heard. God thunders marvelously with his voice. Great things does he which we cannot comprehend. For he says to the snow, be on the earth, likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of his strength. He seals up the hand of every man that all men may know his work. Then the beasts go into dens and remain in their places. Out of the south comes the whirlwind and the cold. Out of the north, by the breath of God, frost is given, and the breath of the waters is straightened. Also by watering, he wearieth the thick cloud. He scatters his bright cloud, and it is turned round about by his counsel, that they may do whatsoever he commands them upon the face of the world in the earth. He causes it to come, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Do you know when God disposes them and causes the light of his clouds to shine? Do you know when the balancings of the clouds, the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge, how your garments are warm when he quieteth the earth by the south wind? All these things God is doing. Have you with him spread out the sky which is strong, and as a molten looking glass, teach us what we shall say unto him, for we cannot order our speech by reason of darkness. He keeps going on and on. This is poetic language, but he's saying, listen, everything from the lightning to the east wind to the garments that a man wears, whether he's warm or whether he's cold, whether he has food or whether he does not, it doesn't matter what it is. All of this is in God's hand. And you were not at the table when he was making those decisions. Let me tell you something, folks. When somebody gets on that television set and they tell you what's going on, we have no way of knowing whether or not they're telling us the truth or not. But one thing's for sure, we weren't at the meeting getting all the information. So we can't dispute it either. So what do? Trust them? No. We continue to listen to what we need to listen to within right reasonable bounds. And we trust that in all things, God is in control of all of this. No matter what, he is in control. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Consider the work of God, for who can make that straight which he has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, when things are good, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other to the end, that man should find nothing after him. They have their purpose. You can sit at home all day and all night trying to figure out what those purposes are. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I can tell you right now, there's a ton of conspiracies out there. Had a few whapped through my head while I've been home instead of watching Mannix. Doesn't mean anything that we think is true. Doesn't give it any authority whatsoever. What authority do we have? God speaks. And what he speaks is done. And he doesn't make us privy to what he's doing. And somehow, maybe more so as Americans, we've come to think that we have a right to know everything there is to know. And God says, you have no right with me whatsoever. I will do what I will do. And you can't stop it. And it'll be right. And it'll be good. And it'll be just. And it'll be holy. Habakkuk 3:17-18 says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the crops fail and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the fold and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be glad in God my Savior. Job, after having lost his crops and his cattle and his homes and his children, said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. True statement. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, it says, Job sinned not against God. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 9, Sanballat and Tobiah were threatening Nehemiah because the people were starting to dig out of the rubble and to rebuild the wall of the city of Jerusalem. And they were saying things like, if you build that wall, we'll send a fox up and the fox will knock it down. You won't be able to protect yourself from us coming in. And they were trying to make the people afraid to do the work. They were trying to make everybody stand up on the rubble and keep watching to save their own lives from what might come their way because someone spoke some words. And in Nehemiah 4:9, he says this, "We prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet his threat." And then you know what they did? They kept building. And so certain people in rotating order were given a shield and a spear or a shield and a sword, and they were set as guards to watch while all of the people worked on the section of the wall that belonged to them. They went about their business doing what they were told to do by Nehemiah, who was sent there by God. Not listening to all the threats from outside the city that would have kept them from accomplishing the very things that they should be accomplishing inside that city. We need to be aware of whose words we're hearing, whose voice we're listening to, and who sits on his throne. This is an extremely small sample of what God says about himself. I could have been picking verses for the entire week and been standing up here for the rest of the day reading all of them. He is the only one who is everything he says he is. I mean, the truth is, are you going to believe what he says or everybody else? Because he is who he says he is without fail, without change, and without question forever. This virus is not sovereign, only he is. This virus is not omnipotent, only he is. It can spread all over the entire world, and it cannot do more than God has given it to do, and it cannot cross any boundaries that he has set for it to cross. We are good where we are. So like Nehemiah, we need to pray, be cognizant, set a watch, do the things that we should do to be wise, and then serve the Lord and care for each other and pray for each other and not be afraid. Trust the outcome to him. Too many voices, too many words from too many who simply don't know. Listen, I'm 68 years old. I know I don't look it. But I'm 68 years old. Actually, I do kind of look it, don't I? And I've got kidney disease. And I'm being cautious. And contrary to some people, old people like living. Just because you're over 60 doesn't mean you're ready to go into a grave someplace. King David said, "Remind me that my days are numbered." And guess what? Being 20 doesn't mean you're going to see 60. Being 60 doesn't mean you're going to see 80. Age has nothing to do with whether you should live or whether you should die. Those are not our decisions to make. We don't have that authority, we don't have that power to make that decision. No matter what. Our job is to work to live and to take care of the living. Psalm 139:16, "All my days were ordained for me. They were written in your book before I even existed." Ecclesiastes 3, "There is a time to live and a time to die. We will not come into this world one microsecond early, and we will not depart any earlier either." And you can't change that no matter how much you fear. Psalm 90, verse 12, "Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." Wisdom, not fear. Epaphroditus, it says, the companion of Paul, was sick nigh unto death. But it says God had mercy on him. God had mercy on him. Because all things in creation answer to him. "It is my prayer that we will not treat the assembling of ourselves together as an option after this passes, that we will look at this departure from each other and not say, well, we can go next week if we don't go this week, that we must go every week, that we must be together as often as we can. That we can look forward to it with anticipation and properly seeing and touching one another again. In the meantime, we'll do all that we can to keep in touch with everybody in the congregation. We're going to work to connect us all in some workable way, hopefully through this Zoom. These kids, I don't know what they're going to come up with next. But listen, careful who you listen to. No voice, no words are better than His words. And with that truth in mind, I want to close with one more section of His word. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. A great section of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. Kim posted this in a meme this week. And I love this section. I thought, you know what? I'm going to close out with that. So I'm going to read this, and then you make this a part of your reading this week and find comfort in it. And then I'm going to close with prayer, and we're going to have one more song and a benediction. Just like every week, except it's not. Starting in verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spend. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, the unbelievers. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's our first and foremost priority. And all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. To today, to right now, to this moment, trusting, trusting, trusting that God is on his throne. And if you believe and you name the name of Christ, you must trust his word. You cannot say, I believe you, Lord, but I don't believe your word. They are inseparable. Amen? Let's have prayer, and Andrew's going to come forth and sing a song. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for your wonderful goodness. We thank you that no matter what it is we're going through, quite frankly, Lord, no matter how bad this might get or how quick it might turn around, that in any way we look and we see your hand at work. I have no idea what you're doing. I don't know your cause. I don't know your purpose. You don't confide in me in any way, shape, or form, or none of us, but we know without question that you're at work. I won't put words in your mouth to decide what that is, Lord, but you're at work. That we can trust, that you're good, that you love us, that you'll never, ever leave us nor forsake us. That's your word. We can trust it. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to stand up and trust you with all that we have, no matter what it is we go through in the coming days. May you be honored and glorified in this body and in your body around the world. In Jesus' name, amen.